Township 17 North, Range 2 East, Seward Meridian, and Section 33 Township 18 North, Range 2 East, Seward Meridian. And there is a public hearing scheduled for that ordinance on June 10th. Resolution number 14-019, designating authorized signatures for check signing affecting any and all disbursements of city monies. Resolution number 14-020, designating city representatives who are authorized and empowered to execute and deliver all documentation instructions on city investment accounts.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those in favor of having the clerk do a roll call vote, say aye. There you go, Madam Clerk.
Thank you. Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, motion passed unanimously. We have an agenda for the evening. Is there a motion to approve the May 13 minutes? Made by Councilmember Hansen. Is there a second? By Councilmember Irby. Any corrections or deletions? Councilmember Combs.
On page 52 of 163, action memorandum 14-036, authorize a $2,500 donation to Grow Palmer to support the Grow Palmer Edible Park project. My notes from the previous meeting from April 22nd, I have notes to myself that the $2,500 was for in-kind services. Is that correct?
My understanding was that that was changed to not in-kind because of the desire to keep it quote-unquote clean and not have city equipment involved, but there would be a cash donation.
Thank you. I appreciate the clarification.
But I want to make sure from Madam Clerk, is that correct?
That is correct, Madam Mayor.
All right, thank you. Okay, any other questions, corrections, or deletions? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for a roll call vote.
Deputy Mayor, Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
We have next communication appearance requests, item E, of which we do not have any listed. Next item is the city manager's report. Welcome, Mr. Hannon.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you to your first council meeting.
It is a pleasure for me. Yeah, and so thank you for any missteps we may get here in advance and as I get acclimated. So I've been here, I think, all of 10 days. I've been able to get to about 15 different groups and all but two of the council members. So after we finish here, then we'll get that set and we can visit with each of the council members. It's been busy getting comments from each of the people from the boroughs to half a dozen different groups in town, including Grow Palmer today that we just passed on. And what will happen is a couple of things. First, I hope on the manager's report that every Friday I will submit to you a manager's report so that you get information of the things that are going on and hopefully the information that is useful as people ask you questions. And then I'll do a recap after I complete the rest of the different service groups in town and to give you feedback as to what they've told me as things that are of interest. And I've asked them basically, what are the challenges? How can the city help? And this is everyone from the borough that I've met with to the pastoral group of just people that want to would like to cooperate with the city. And overall, the response has been very good. They like our staff, and each of the groups have some different challenges they want to do, and done the same thing with each of the commissions of talking about where they want to go with the strategic plan and different things that they can be successful with. So I'll report back to you as a full by the time we get to the next meeting. Some of the things that are just a couple of items coming up that I think are significant and important for you. Some meetings. One is that if you look to your calendars on the 29th at 8 o'clock in the morning, Senator Begich is here at the Senior Center. So if you're free and you can make it. And then Representative Hughes on the 5th starts her schedules, meeting with clients and on the 5th of June. And then, and I know you already have this on your calendar, but really Colony Day is coming up. You don't need a lot of reminder, but that's just a little over a week away, on the 7th. Some things internally with the city coming up that are some significant, and I don't know if Jeff's here. I don't see Jeff. Our Airport Commission Chair is here, and Jeff Combs was reporting to the commission. We had one of the busiest days at the airport in the last 2 weeks and probably close to 10 years. And, of course, that's not the kind of activity we really want with the Forest Service activity, but it's significant of a growing, activity at the airport. And Jeff will come in and we'll have him do a presentation, as will the commission. All of your commissions are scheduled. And if you look to your extended calendar, to come back and report to you. We have a police officer opening, and we're getting ready it's out for recruitment. So if you know of some really good candidates too, that refer them. Then we have one that we've been waiting for a while. And Tom, any of the department heads are here can answer some other questions, but we've got the bid opening at the event center coming up. And so that'll be on your council meeting shortly. So written reports for me on Fridays. We'll start with this Friday. And a big part of mine is just getting more feedback and sitting back and listening, not making changes without really contemplating the whole big picture and stuff. But thank you for having me. Thank you for the staff putting up with me as we kind of sort our way through. They get used to me and I get used to the rest of the staff. So, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I did include a written report in the packet, and I'm not going to go totally through that, other than some big legislation. A large piece of legislation that I'm working on has to do with the court system and their concern about how our fee schedule is interpreted by the court and clarification on that interpretation. So working on the fee schedule to make sure that they match what needs to be matched and going through that. A lot of records management going on by the deputy clerk, and we're making some great progress there. There is some free training at the end of September in Fairbanks for records, and so both Summer and I will attend that training in September. We've begun work on the October election. The nominating period is July 21st through August 1st, and so that's coming up pretty shortly. I included in the packet my notes that I took from the AML board meeting, that some of the notes of the things that were going on also with the board packet, and just some of the things that were accomplished this session were great. The $3 billion infusion, they're calling it, into PERS and TERS, which was very beneficial for the municipalities, and that the contribution rate for PERS stayed at 22%. So that was a really great thing that happened through the legislature. And the rest of the notes are in there, and as well as the packet. And I'm sure the mayor can elaborate more on the meeting itself because she was there as well. So if there are any questions, that's the end of my report.
All right, thank you very much. As the clerk had mentioned, I was at the Alaska Conference of Mayors representative at the Alaska Municipal League Board on Monday and Tuesday of last week. And so the clerks noted some of the detail. We also had a Memorial Day service yesterday at the Wall, of which myself and the manager were there. We presented a wreath on behalf of the City of Palmer veterans from the City of Palmer and City of Palmer employees. I also spoke on behalf of the City of Palmer proclamation. And from that, we had requested, the manager had requested from the departments a list of all the veterans that are serving or have served that are currently employees for the City of Palmer. And I'd like to go ahead and read those names in honor of Memorial Day. So at the airport manager Jeffrey Combs, 23 years, retired U.S. Air Force and U.S. Army. City manager Johannan, 28 years, Army. Fire Department, John McNutt, U.S. Air Force, Air National Guard, still serving. Brian Reed, U.S. Air Force, still serving. Kirsten Lelanen, U.S. Air Force, Air National Guard, still serving. Oral Scott, U.S. Air Force, Air National Guard, still serving. Quentin Hasinovich, Army National Guard, still serving. Tyler Larimer, U.S. Air Force National Guard, still serving. Bruce Axtell, U.S. Air Force veteran. Rick Howe, Army veteran. Lauren Russell, Army veteran. John Diamenti, U.S. Marine Corps veteran. And Louis LaRousse, U.S. Air Force veteran. Barbara Budnick, Army, that's Library. Police Department, Thomas Romali, 3 years Navy, 7.5 years Army. David Parker, 20 years Army. James Gibson, 20 years Air Force. Philip Krause, 8 years Army. Lance Ketterling, 6 years Army. James Hammonds, 6 years Marine Corps. James Rowland, killed in the line of duty, 1999, 4 years Navy. Jenna Blazak, Air Force, 5.5 years. And I think we maybe missed a couple departments because I'm sure we have someone in Public Works that has served. So I'd like to get those names so we can add those to the list and read those at maybe at our next council meeting. We also have a note from Jeff Combs who had requested an opportunity just to say thank you for the recognition, if at all possible. This was his request. Can you recognize the sacrifice of three friends of mine? I know they're not from Palmer, Alaska, but they will always remain part of me. Chief Warrant Officer 3, Wesley Fortenberry. Chief Warrant Officer 3, Rex Kenyon. Chief Warrant Officer 3, Michael Hartwick. All killed in action in Iraq. So on behalf of Jeff Combs, we recognize his friends today for Memorial Day. So thank you. Appreciate that, Mr. Hannon, for bringing that forward. And that concludes my mayor's report for tonight. Mr. Gaddy.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, thank you. First of all, I'd like to welcome Mr. Hannon. I look forward to working with him, and I think that he'll be capable of taking on the several challenges that Palmer may confront him with. So welcome. Also, I too attended the AML board meeting. Palmer was well represented with our city clerk, our mayor, and there was great information that was exchanged there. The good news, as Madam Clerk indicated, was the $3 billion PERS TERS infusion for the unfunded liability. That should be helpful. Plus, the local contribution remained at 22%. That's very good news. However, there's still hard work to do on the termination study. And I know those of you that lobby in Juneau and go to Juneau will fight hard for those issues to clear them up because they really undermine municipalities' ability to manage its workforce. So we'll be back at the board meeting in Nome to have the summer meeting, and so that should be interesting, and there should be good information developed there, and get to see people from all over the state. Secondly, a small bit of good news. I shared this with our finance director and our manager. It looks like we'll be recovering about $95,000 in a collection for delinquent sales tax. It's on the cusp of being resolved, so I wanted to report that to you this evening, and I forwarded the documentation to Mr. Hannon for his review, and I'll speak to him more specifically about that. And that's my report, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mr. Getty. Next item of business is audience participation. Time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you are representing a group. Audience participation is now open. And seeing no one come forward, audience participation is now closed. And that brings us to public hearings. The public hearing for ordinance number 14-009, amending Palmer Municipal Code Chapter 18.45, election recount is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to ordinance 14-009, please come forward at this time. Public hearing is now open. Seeing no one come forward, public hearing is now closed. Is there a motion to adopt ordinance number 14-009? Made by Councilmember Hansen and seconded by Councilmember Combs to approve ordinance number 14-009. Is there any discussion or does anyone wish to receive a staff report? All right, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll for a roll call vote?
I thought you'd ask for a staff report, but so I was waiting to hear if there was one.
Oh, no, I asked if anyone would like to have a staff report.
Okay.
Would you like to have a staff report?
I can just start with some questions I have. And
certainly. To the clerk?
Just concerns with the ordinance and then where we want to go from there.
All right, very good.
Okay. Now to find where it is. It seemed like the ordinance might have missed a spot where it was talking about, yeah, I'll try to find the page of, okay, which one are we on here? The first one, of course. Yeah. So, okay, my questions are really on the second, third, and fourth, I believe. So, yeah. So.
Okay, but this section?
So nothing on this ordinance at this point from me.
Oh, okay. All right. So we have a motion that's been made and seconded to approve ordinance number 14-009. Is there any further discussion? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for a roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yeah.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
The public hearing for ordinance number 14-014, amending Palmer Municipal Code 2.20, Planning and Zoning Commission, IM 14-029, is now open. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak to ordinance 14-014 may do so at this time. And seeing no one come forward, public hearing is now closed. Is there a motion to adopt 14-014?
So moved.
Second.
Made by Councilmember Combs, seconded by Councilmember Irby. Is there any request for a staff report or discussion? Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have some discussion on page 131 of 163. In the new B section, not the section B where it was crossed out, but the new B section, B like in boy. I need further clarification, I guess, on absent, fails to attend, excused, because, and maybe I'll just give you a minute for everybody to read that. So it just seems like to me there's, you know, it needs clarification or reducing the conflict that's there.
I'm sorry, could you go ahead and note where exactly again?
On page 131,
mm-hmm.
And the new B like in boy.
And the new B of 2.2032, I'm sorry.
It's right in the middle of page 131.
Okay. Well, there's two B's on that page, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, the B that's crossed out, the new B like in boy.
Okay.
And it talks about the commission member is absent from three regular meetings without an excuse. So, and then the next one is absence from six regular meetings. So does that six regular meetings include the three? That's where they're excused, or are these three without excuse? And how do, you know, how do they get excused? And then the next one says that fails to attend. So what's the difference between fails and absent? Because fails to attend two-thirds of the regular meetings, and they have regular 12 meetings a year, two-thirds of that is nine. So, but if he's already been absent from six regular meetings, he or she are already gone, so they don't have the option of failing to attend nine meetings. So, and it's in all of the ordinances that we have before us tonight on the commissions and the boards. So, so I don't know if the attorney has some clarification or some suggestions, or the clerk does.
Mr. Getty, would you give us a further clarification on that?
Madam Mayor, members of the council, thank you. I don't know that I could add any clarification to it, because I think the comment from Council Member DeVries is very astute, and I would suggest deleting B3 based upon the inconsistency, the inherent inconsistency contained in that section. And as far as one or two, and I might ask the clerk for a bit of help on this, but the first section, B1, states that you can have three excused absences, and then the second section says if you're just absent from six regular meetings. So maybe that needs a phrase without excuse, or maybe there needs to be clarification as to whether the excused absences would count towards the B2 absence requirement. But either way, a clarification may be in order. So thank you for pointing that out. That's very helpful.
I guess I did have a question on that, Mike. So if we had two-thirds, could be, if you have three meetings, it could be two meetings out of three. So it's not necessarily covered in some of the other portion. I guess I'm wondering, does it say that we have to, that the airport board has to meet once a month? I know there was some, I thought there was some change to it. Oh, PNC, well, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
It does say that in code that they meet once a month. However, there isn't a quorum. They, of course, can't meet. So, well, in theory, it's 12 meetings, but it could be reduced in the year, in the 12-month period.
So if we had, no, we have a number of permutations. I guess what we're trying to get to.
Madam Mayor, if I, Madam Clerk. This came in 2005, and I honestly don't remember exactly what was going on at that time, other than there must have been an issue with absences. I agree with the attorney. Perhaps B3 is not needed. And as far as what B2 would mean, I would think that would be for a total of six regular meetings, meaning with or without excuse. I believe that was the intent at that time. That if you're gone six regular meetings for whatever reason, then you're no longer on the commission. I don't believe that it's ever been practiced.
Your Honor, if I can do follow up.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. Then why try to get an excuse if you're excused for three and then you miss three, you're out no matter what. So why would you even ask for an excuse? I'll make the motion on number three, but I think we maybe still need to massage one and two for a minute.
Your Honor.
Councilor Irby.
Well, it states, in addition, commission member may be removed by the mayor. So, you know, they could, I could see to where they could be gone eight meetings and the mayor not do anything about it. You know, if they're not unhappy with the fact that they're not showing up, then the mayor doesn't have to do anything.
So do we have somewhere that we're going to have attendance?
Madam Mayor, they do keep attendance for each commission and committee and commission and board, and I do receive that attendance. there is attendance kept for each committee or commission.
Mr. Getty.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, thank you. I guess, and I don't know the answer to this, but is there a problem with various commission members not attending where you potentially would have six absences? I don't know.
Well, there has been. Yeah, we have had that in the past. I had to look at that, I think, in planning and zoning a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But typically, we don't have that problem now, but sometimes we have in the past, because one of the things that we do have under our, I believe, under our code is our councilman or our board members get paid for the meeting whether they attend or not. Mm-hmm. And so there was some concern that we were having these absent members for excessive periods of time, and we were paying for them. So we did, kind of look into that at one point. Mr. Getty.
Madam Mayor, I believe Title 29 states for assembly members or Title 29 municipalities that if the elected official misses three consecutive meetings without excuse, there could be an issue. So I don't know if that could be a guideline to look towards on this if the city's not experiencing a problem with it. I don't know. I just present that as a potential suggestion.
I know that is why when we have done in the past, we just had, I guess, naturally just assumed anyone that was absent was excused. And at this more recently, I have made sure to, if we have an absent member, that we take a, that we approve that they have been excused. And that would probably be the proper procedure then under the board action as well. Whoever's maintaining the staff for the boards. Councilmember Combs.
Madam Mayor, I'm curious, what does the record reflect if there's a lack of a quorum for those members who have shown up? What does the record reflect for their presence or lack of presence?
Madam Mayor.
Madam Clerk.
To my knowledge, each committee and commission board is known ahead of time that there's been a lack of quorum, and so the meeting is not called to order at all. A meeting can be called to order to adjourn to a different time, but it's not been called to order. And I know that they keep record of who would have been there. I don't know it off the top of my head, though.
But that doesn't lead to the question, which I was wondering myself, if we have a lack of quorum because somebody didn't show up, but everyone else would have been there. I mean, so we didn't have a meeting for them
there's
to miss
no meeting,
because
right?
They didn't show up or wouldn't have
that's
shown
the
up.
Answer.
What's the
there's
answer?
No meeting. When you have a lack of a quorum, all you can do is adjourn, so there's no meeting.
Okay. Further. Further concerns?
Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councilmember Carrington.
Just to throw more in there, too, of when B starts off, it says a commission member may be removed by the mayor. Technically, it takes the mayor and the council to appoint to the commission, so I guess my preference would be to reflect that it takes the mayor and or the council to remove them.
Second.
Mr. Getty.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, thank you. The question to address in that case is whether you want to bring that to the council as an agenda item to remove someone. And that's a discretionary decision on your part as to whether you'd want to undertake those sorts of debates.
Madam Clerk.
There have only been a few instances, and I'm not speaking to absences, but it does say, and I'd have to look back where exactly in the code, that it is a resignation accepted by the council. So when they do, when a member resigns, the council does actually accept that resignation by action memorandum.
So So did I understand you had made a motion that you would like to have that in, brought back to council and code, Councilmember Carrington, seconded by Councilmember Best, or did I hear that correctly?
Yes, but I wasn't sure I understood the attorney's comments, so I'm not sure if I would.
I didn't hear you say that. I heard a second before I heard the motion. So.
Yes, I will make that as a motion. Now I have to state it so you can write it down, right?
I do want to caution the council, just as we've done some other things, that we want to make sure that if we want to have these kinds of public debates about people's level of absenteeism, then we're happy to do that if that's the will of the council.
Well, maybe, I guess what I suggest, maybe should this go back to our staff to rework some of these things that we've given to them, or I guess I'm asking the question before jumping into motions.
The entire language is here. The title is Amending Palmer Municipal Code 2.20 Planning and Zoning Commission, so that you can do anything to this language you had before you. You can do it either way, make an amendment, or you can send it back. It's totally up to you. Either option is in order.
Would you like to follow up, Councilmember Carrington?
Does the clerk believe she has enough guidance to rework it if we were to send it back to her and the staff?
Well, I guess direction to the clerk with a second as to what you want to have her bring back. I'm not certain I understand, or we need a motion to make the changes. I'm not sure the clerk wants to rework this without further direction.
Okay, so I will make a motion to insert to B that it would read, may be removed by the mayor and or council. So insert the words and or council right after mayor.
Second.
Okay, so where was that at? By the mayor and or council?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Getty.
Madam Mayor, if I may. Typically, and or is not a preferred drafting technique, and it adds ambiguity, an inherent ambiguity to the phrase. So maybe I could suggest some language for Councilmember Carrington, and maybe it would be something like a person may be removed by the mayor with the concurrence of the council or something like that.
Of course, we could strike mayor altogether and let you guys have it. Would you like to do that? That might be an option.
We can change it to the concurrence of the council.
Maybe removed by the council.
Use one of those $10 words.
Madam Mayor, just procedurally, the First Amendment is out there, so you can amend your amendment, but it can't just be taken back. So you can amend that with a secondary amendment, but you don't get to take it back.
All right, so what we have before us is we have a primary amendment number one to include after an item, the new item B, of cause for removal following mayor would be and or council, made by Councilmember Carrington and seconded by Councilmember Best. Is there a further discussion?
Sure, I'll make an amendment.
All right.
To change the wording to with the concurrence of the council and strike all the other words that were added.
To change maybe with the concurrence of the council?
Correct.
What's our code typically say? Does it say approval or what does it?
Confirmation for the council.
Confirmation.
There hasn't been a second, so if you'd like to.
That's what I was suggesting, that maybe there was a consistent. How would you like to have that, Mr. Councilmember Carrington.
Confirmation.
I mean, is concurrence and confirmation the same thing?
Well, confirmation is you're appointing someone, but here you're removing someone. So what you want to do, as I understand the debate, is you want to have joint responsibility for the removal, where the mayor would make the initial decision and the council would affirm the mayor's decision to remove the person who failed to attend however many meetings they failed to attend. So that's sort of what you're working on.
So would it be concurrence or confirmation?
It wouldn't be confirmation. I'd say with the concurrence.
Stick okay. with concurrence.
All right, perfect.
Yes.
So we have Councilmember Carrington has made the motion, or I'm sorry, primary amendment number two to include, secondary amendment number one. Okay, I got it. With the concurrence. Excuse me, Councilmember Betts, I know you can't hear very well, but just let me get through the state to state the motion here, or the amendment. So after council, let's see, may be removed by the mayor, and that would be to remove the and or that we just voted on, isn't that correct? The primary amendment would be corrected to with the concurrence of the council. Made by Councilmember Carrington and seconded by Councilmember Combs. Do we have further discussion? Councilmember Best, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The way that I had read it before, it was designating who could initiate the removal, and I'm a fan of the mayor still being able to initiate a removal, but I would also like to see council be able to initiate a removal, and that's where I'd like to have the question to the attorney go.
Okay, I'm thinking that unless I'm mistaken, that might be another amendment that this would be. We might want to finish this one up and then add that to, and maybe another one. And so that, hold that thought, Councilmember Best and Councilmember Irby.
I was basically going to say the same thing, but I would just suggest removing the mayor from the statement. Just say that they can be removed by the council, because that would include the mayor as well.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm happy to let you guys have that all to yourself. So what we would is that an amendment, or is that we need to go ahead and vote on the secondary amendment number one? Or, I mean, we can, unless you want to, we can make a secondary amendment number two, I suppose. No, we can't do it. Only one secondary amendment. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and vote on secondary amendment number one. Councilmember Combs, did you have something you wanted to say?
Could you, to be absolutely clear on what we're voting on, could you read the statement the way it would read if this amendment passes? I mean, in other words, what we're after.
Well, if we have primary amendment number one and secondary amendment, well, I just want to make note that I'm really pleased to see Bill Pipple, and I'm so glad. I'm impressed that you made it. Take care. 42 minutes. All right. Very good. Okay, so coming back to primary amendment number one and number two combined, it would read, may be removed by the mayor with the concurrence of the council. If during a 12-month period while in office, et cetera.
That's what you're voting on now.
So, any further questions?
I guess I'd like to know mechanically how this happens. So staff alerts that somebody has the above too many excuse or absences relays it to the mayor, and then we bring it up and we have a public debate on the merits of absences and then the removal.
And maybe whether their excuses are valid?
Yeah. Actually, with the note from their mother, maybe.
Madam Mayor, what happens now is that I receive the attendance and then I let the mayor know. So it would be an action memorandum similar to appointment, confirming the mayor's, I'm sure we would change the word confirm. Concurring with the mayor. Yeah. It'd be an action memorandum confirming the mayor's an appointment of a member.
Removal.
Thank you. Better word.
And so is that just a consent agenda item or?
Madam Mayor? Madam Clerk?
Yes, it's been my process that I put the appointments and the removals. And we haven't had a removal, we've had resignations on the consent agenda, and of course you can do with what you want to after that, but they've been on the consent agenda.
Further discussion? Concerns, questions? All right, let's go ahead and vote.
Okay, this is on secondary amendment number one about the concurrence.
All right, all those in favor, secondary amendment number one, please signify by saying aye. I was wondering if you do a roll call.
Councilmember Best.
No.
My roll call.
Councilmember Combs.
No.
Councilmember DeVries.
Yes.
Councilmember Irby.
No.
Councilmember Hansen.
No.
Deputy Mayor Carrington.
Yes.
Mayor Johnson.
No.
Motion fails. So now you're back to the primary amendment, which is and or council.
All right, any further discussion on primary amendment number one? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll vote on primary amendment number one?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
No.
Councilmember Irby?
No.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
No.
Mayor Johnson?
No.
Motion fails.
All right, that brings us back to the main, excuse me.
Your Honor, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Use the mic.
Delete
Hansen.
B3.
Second. So this is now primary amendment number two.
Correct.
Yes. All right, we have made and seconded primary amendment number two. Councilmember Hansen, seconded by Councilmember DeVries, to delete the new B item three. Discussion. Comments?
Yeah, Your Honor, I think the first two are sufficient to make a determination we're going to remove somebody or not. So I think three is cumbersome and all sorts of other adjectives.
All right, very good. Further discussion? All those in favor of, and this would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Now then, are we back to the original
amendments?
The main motion. Okay. So the main motion has amended. Any further amendments or questions?
I have a question.
Yes, Councilmember Hansen.
And this is whoever, I guess, did you make this? Okay, so on page 124 under Staff Assistance Commission, I'm just going to argue this point again because I've argued it for 17 years, but I don't like it when we're so specific in these ordinances that we basically create organizational structures through how we write our ordinances. I think this staff assistance commission should be a function of who the manager puts in that position to report and assist whatever board they're working with. And when you basically write in an ordinance very specifically that person is their staff assistant, I think it limits the ability of staff to put in people of that best reflect their abilities to get something done. So that's all I have to say.
Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Councilmember Hansen. There could be a motion, if you would like to make it, that would say city manager or designee, and if you did make that motion, it would be a good idea to say it throughout the ordinance. So that way I would go in and make it throughout the ordinance, if that is something you choose.
Yeah, I'd make that.
Quickly, and I agree with Councilmember Hansen, because for one thing, we tend to change titles within the department, and we may be indicating the same person, but I guess my question would be for the city manager, and this is something that I'd like to hear you weigh in on as far as what you would prefer as designating staff, or would you like to have the option of how would you see this being best written for your management?
Well, Mayor and Council, I mean, I agree that if you give the maximum flexibility or because you are, over time, you're going to change titles. And there's already provisions there to, for example, to appoint someone as a, you know, create a position of community development director, and for them to say that they have to be the staff person. Because there can be times that I would take it if Sandy goes on vacation, or one of the people in her department will go, gee, I've gone on vacation, can this person do the staff? She would tell me, and I'd go, okay, I'll decide if I show up to there to make sure that the commission is supported. We don't want commissions to go without staff, but being this detailed, I don't think you need to do it. Kind of the less government, the better, you know. It is.
So can we have to make an individual motion on each, amendment on each section, or
if the maker of the motion would state city manager or designee throughout this ordinance, that would be sufficient. I would go in and put that throughout the ordinance.
I'd make that motion.
And I would second that.
Made by Councilmember Hansen and seconded by Councilmember Combs to identify staff assistance of the commission as city manager or designee throughout the ordinance. Discussion? Comments? Madam Clerk, will you please take a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Further comments on ordinance 14 dash... Actually, that was an amendment. That was an amendment. That was not the main motion. Okay, so back to the main motion, ordinance 14-014 as amended.
Madam Mayor.
Mr.
Best.
Councilmember Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to revisit if we could go ahead and strike mayor and add council. That would be my amendment.
Throughout the ordinance?
No, just in the...
I'll second that.
Just you.
Oh, okay. We're back to... Where are we at?
Page 131.
Oh, we're back to item B again? Ah, okay. So we're going to strike mayor and add council? Is that what I just heard in item B?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
All right, very good. Do we have a second to that?
Second.
All right. We have, in addition, a commission member may be removed by the council. Oh, is that, and
that's
then,
correct.
No. And
that's, that failed, that failed. So no,
okay.
This is a standard.
All right, very good. So this will be primary amendment number four. Excuse me, made by Councilmember Best, seconded by Councilmember Irby. All those in favor will answer first. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Best.
Yes.
Councilmember Combs.
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries.
Yes.
Councilmember Irby.
Yes.
Councilmember Hanson.
No.
Deputy Mayor Carrington.
Yes.
Mayor Johnson.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Now, can we go back to the main motion, or do we have any additional changes? All right, very good. We're back to the main motion as amended, ordinance number 14-014. Further discussion? Madam Clerk, will you please call for a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hanson?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Hearing for ordinance number, excuse me. Ordinance number 14-015, amending Palmer Municipal Code Chapter 2.25, Airport Advisory Commission, as noted in IM 14-030, is now open. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak to the council may do so at this time. Welcome.
Some of you are aware
that
state his name.
Excuse me. Go ahead and sign in. State your name for the record. Oh, would you like it to be? Oh, okay. Well, we'll start it when you're good signed in. Just turn on your microphone, and that's when we'll start the timer.
Obviously, this is my first time testifying. I didn't know how to press the button. Some of you are aware I've been attending meetings. I've also attended the Massachusetts Borough meetings on a regular basis the last few months, and I'm on my third year since April's evaluating the municipality of Anchorage on public process. I'd like to request that you continue public hearing for the next two items you got. I'm in a cursory review of looking at this. It looks like you're discouraging public participation in public meetings by looking at this. Now, look, for example, the previous two hearings you just had, no one from the public testified. There was no one here. And that's a signal that what was going on, public's not here. I know you don't want that, obviously. But by of these issues of changing the rules of how meetings are being conducted, I'm requesting that the next two ordinances that you have for public hearing, this one and the next one that deals with public participation, you move to continue for public hearing, allowing anyone to testify, which is me, because I'm not giving you my concerns in detail. And also the other two, you do some motion of reconsideration to allow for reopening the public hearing, the other two items that you just passed. I want to stress this point. I'm on my third year following public meetings full-time in my own pocket, Valley. I was brought into seeing how Anchorage officials meet with borough officials and so forth and how they conduct the meetings. It's been rather exhausting for me. I normally make a speech, prepare a statement and all. This is not normal for me to do. And if there's only any, I want to also say that I've been saying to people in Anchorage and, and Anchorage officials and public how well you are substantially better in encouraging public participation and announcing meetings than what Anchorage is doing. Okay, it's a nightmare there. But this, I see, cursory review, I see this maybe going backwards and I need more time, and I would encourage you to get reopening the other two, and then I will personally be willing to look at this more to what you're doing here. And again, I want to stress this. I know from witnessing some comments in previous meetings by the council how much you're concerned about the open meetings law and don't want to conflict with that. And that, I repeat statements from, say, to other people of your statements there, and that makes my heart great when I hear that. But this thing, and with no one testifying of the previous two ordinances, please do a motion to reconsider the other two to call back public hearing, and then continue this, and allow for one more thing, and this concludes it. Allow okay. enough time there for all
no,
these...
I always cut people off at 3 minutes. I'm sorry.
This is what, can I just do...
I'm going to give you, like, start right now, and I'm going to give you just one concluding sentence.
All I'm going to say is you have different bodies here, airport, planning and all that. Allow for the next hearing date not to occur before... Allow for me or anyone public to examine what they're doing in their public meetings before you change the rules.
All right. Thank you very much. I try to be very consistent on my 3 minutes so we don't have any kind of question that there is a, that some people get more time than others. So thank you for that. On what we've heard, does anyone have any changes or would like to ask for a continuance based on the information that we just received? Or just the. If anyone else would like to come forward to address the council public hearing, then it's now closed. And do we have a motion to adopt? Made by Councilmember Hansen, seconded by Councilmember Irby. All right, do we have a discussion?
Madam Mayor.
Councilor Best on the phone. We have first here Councilmember DeVries, and then you can follow. Councilmember DeVries.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. On page 139, item B3, I would move for the removal of that sentence. Page 139.
Second.
It's what we did previously.
Item 3, page 139, and what is the most, is the amendment, Councilmember DeVries?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Page 139, the removal of B, like in boy, number 3.
Okay. Made by Councilmember DeVries, seconded by Councilmember Hansen, primary amendment number 1. Further discussion? All those
Madam
in
Mayor?
Yes, excuse me, Councilmember Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And just as a clerical side, I noticed this after we had passed the first one. There's an or at the end of 2 that will also need to come.
Excuse me, can you say that again?
B2, there's an or at the end. It also needs to come off with 3.
Okay. Well, can we just direct the clerk to make the grammatical errors, corrections needed to make the read correctly? Okay. All right. Any further discussion then, Madam Clerk, would you please call for the roll? Call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, that was primary amendment number one. Councilmember Irby.
Your Honor, in the same area, section B, I'd like to, same with this one, remove the word mayor and replace it with the council.
Second.
Made by Councilmember Irby, seconded by Councilmember Combs to remove mayor, replace it with council. Discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll? Primary amendment number two.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Anything else that we would like to amend in ordinance 14-... do we have anything about staff assistance? Have you?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Doesn't say anything about that. Okay, very good. All right, in that case,
Your Honor.
Councilor DeVries.
Thank you. I would just like to make a statement. I appreciate the gentleman testifying at the public hearing, and I appreciate his kind remarks regarding the fact that, you know, to me, we bend over backwards regarding the open meetings law. But this is the second time that this has been on our agenda. It would have been on there a couple weeks ago. I don't know exactly the date. The clerk can give it to us when we did introduce it. So it is the second time, and the second time that it's been advertised. And I know the gentleman has been here, and he's here quite often, but it's not unusual for the City of Palmer to have nobody testifying at their public hearings, and I guess in some ways that can be either good or bad. They either don't care or they care that we're doing fine. So, but I do appreciate his remarks, and so I'd just like to have that for the record that this is the second time that this has been on our agenda. Thank you.
All right, very good. That brings us back to the main motion as amended. Madam Clerk, would you call for the roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, that brings us to ordinance number 14-016. Amending Palmer Municipal Code, Chapter 2.30, Board of Economic Development, as noted in IM 14-031, is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to ordinance number 14-016, please come forward at this time. Seeing no one come forward, the public hearing is now closed. And is there a motion to adopt ordinance number 14-016? 1-6.
Second.
Made by Councilmember Irby, seconded by Councilmember Carrington. Discussion.
Your Honor.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. Page 145. B, like in boy, at the bottom of the page, remove number 3. I move that to have that removal.
Second.
And the or. Thank you.
Discussion. Second. Do we have a second? Councilmember DeVries, seconded by Councilmember Irby. Councilmember Carrington. Discussion. Madam Clerk, would you please call for the roll vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Further corrections, Councilmember Irby.
Yeah, the same section. I would move that we replace the word mayor with council.
Seconded. Made by Councilmember Irby, seconded by Councilmember Combs to remove mayor, replace it with council. Any comments, discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call for the roll call vote, or for the vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Brings us back to the main motion as amended, ordinance number 14-016. Further discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll for the vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen? Sorry. Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes. Motion passes. Next on the agenda is our action memorandum. Is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 14-033, authorize city manager to negotiate and execute a professional services agreement with the Hattenberry, Dilley, and Linnell engineers in the amount of $59,900 for engineering and design services for the South Cobb Street Improvement Project?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion or staff request for staff report?
I have some questions.
Okay, Councilmember Hansen.
Okay, so on the trailhead on Eagle and Alaska or Valley Way, it says that we'll use $35,000 of city funds appropriated in 2014, and in the action memorandum information, it says funds are budgeted from items 08-01-10-7153, and I don't know how a 10 could be in 214 for one, and then I'm interested in understanding how much, since this is to HDL, how much of the $35,000 is for construction, how much is for engineering, and the rest of all the things that go along with constructing something, engineering something, and why we're not doing it a force account like we had originally talked about.
Well, two of us can answer some of the questions. Tom, why don't you come on up?
Director Healy.
Thank you. In terms of the trailhead parking, the $35,000 was budgeted this year in the capital projects account. Our plan with that, I don't know if we were, the current design or concept is to build a paved parking lane at the north end of North Valley. There was a previous design that that had a larger parking area just north of Eagle, all of this within the railroad right-of-way. But there were some construction difficulties or potential conflict with the utilities on that one on the north side of Eagle, so we looked at the north end of Valley Way as a location for it. So it's really a simple project to excavate out about 10-foot wide by 100-foot long section, put fill in there, and pave it with curb and gutter. So that's the approach. we thought this would be something which we could do by change order under the shared water main project. It's just an add-on to that project. They're going to be involved with excavation and paving on that project as well. Does that answer your question?
Other than to say this is not designed as the construction money. This is just the design money we're talking about. As I understand it, what it's attempting to do is to say where the next phase after this with the construction and with us doing the work potentially for the trailhead.
Okay, so if we're going to use some of the money budgeted from 14, and some of that should be reflected on the funds budgeted for this project on the first page of the AM. But I mean, originally when this project was discussed, there was talk of not a parking lane, but a regular four-person parking lot on the north on the south side of Eagle. So we're changing that. We're gonna have a parking lane now in addition to a bike lane, or bike lane goes away, or what's the deal?
What I've seen on this project is that there was a design that was prepared, I think, by the Sustainable Design Group, just a plan view of a parking lot of about 8 stalls on the north side of Eagle within the right-of-way, the railroad right-of-way. Looking at that, it seemed more of a larger parking area than we needed, for one thing, and also there was some construction difficulties with the gas line in there. So the thought then was to, as I've mentioned, add in a parking lane on the north end of Valley. Now, if there was another plan, I know in a conversation with you, you'd mentioned that flat area in there, in that the north end of Valley Way, but.
The last thing that Conan Orson, as he was boarding the airplane, was that may be a little bit of an overstatement, but was that the most recent, and I don't know about plans, drawings, I just know that the most recent plans were to create an off-street parking area on the south side of Eagle, the north area you're talking about, for about four vehicles. Not on. Okay. I'm just telling you what was told to me. That's so when you talk about a parking lane, and I suspect the elimination of a bike trail, bike path in that area, how do we do both?
Well, I wasn't aware of another plan. The only plan, as I said, was that one that was designed on the north side of Eagle, and we looked at the area south of Eagle, and this is what we have. This addition of a parking lane will not eliminate that bike lane, which is in the street section already. It will be behind that. So there will still be a bike lane through there. And if there is another idea to say in that same area, in the north end of North Valley, to build it somewhere else, further back or off the street, then we can take a look at this. Nothing's really cast in concrete here, but I wasn't aware of another plan.
So I guess my question here is, are we talking about the $59,000 would be design work that's on a design that we don't know exactly what it is yet, and to make this project happen? I mean, that's really the question, not whether we like the design, but whether somebody's brought a design forward or somebody has an idea of when we're spending $59,000, or I guess I'm just, what, whatever we're approving here.
There may be some confusion in this because they're working at three elements of the RFP. Two of them were removed. The $59,900 proposed contract with HDL is for the to do survey, geotech, and 65% design on the reconstruction of Cobb Street from Evergreen to Blueberry. When I initially put this out for RFP, I also included some design work for the trailhead parking and the sidewalk improvements in downtown. We took those two elements, the sidewalk and the trailhead, out of this RFP because on the sidewalk, HDL, we already had a purchase order with them to oversee the sidewalk work. So we'll just kind of extend that agreement. So that'll be taken care of that way. And the trailhead parking will be taken care of at this point through a change order with the contractor this summer. But this action memorandum here and the action the council is considering just involves the engineering and design for South Cobb Street, if that helps.
South Cobb, which wouldn't include anything about the trailhead.
No, it's the trailhead.
So that's why I was trying to pull the discussion back to what we were actually funding.
Read the action.
Well, I guess that's what I'm wondering is if that's what we're voting on, then we need to have a sense of that. That's what we're voting on, I guess.
I'm just waiting if you want to recognize and I'll jump back in.
Where is the confusion there?
I guess what I'm wondering is, do we need to take a short break? It's kind of, it'd be a good time to take a short break. Let's let the manager and Public Works figure out. I know we're in the midst of a motion, but let's go ahead and figure this out and bring this back. I'm going to come back in about.
I may be able to. Are you looking at the second paragraph in the summary statement? Okay. All right. We can figure it out, I guess. I just wanted to know what.
So let's go ahead and take a brief recess. We'll come back and have it clarified and ready to vote. All right, this meeting is back in order. And we are in the midst of the first discussion of Action Memorandum 14-033. So. Mr. Manager, would you like to go over what we have?
We can, and I think Mr. Healy will cover it, but what we're here tonight about is concentrating just on the very first statement of the summary statement. The next two paragraphs are describing where some funds and what next steps are, but I think if you've covered that, and then up on the board is a picture so we can, even though that's not what we're voting or what you're voting to ask tonight, but we can talk about the trailhead briefly.
Apparently my alarm clock is going off, which does happens whether you have it on silent or not. Okay, sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, just to explain further, all you're voting on tonight is the Cobb Street design issue. I'm sorry for the confusion in the way this AM was written. By sort of explaining these other two project elements that are separate from the issue you're voting on tonight, you may have gotten the impression that they were included in that, but. I was trying to explain how we were going to accomplish those projects. So it was just a little bit of, I guess, actually unnecessary information in this AM. But just to confirm, you're just looking at the contract for HDL for the Cobb Street design tonight.
Councilmember Hansen, did you have your questions answered? Well, you didn't have your questions answered, but are you ready to vote?
Yeah. My questions were answered.
Okay, very good. All right, further discussion or comments? So we have a motion made and seconded on action memorandum 14-033. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
If I can just announce, Council Member Best did leave the meeting. We no longer have to do a roll call vote.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Say no. All right, motion passed unanimously. Do we have a motion to authorize action memorandum 14-037?
So moved.
So authorize the city manager to negotiate and execute a one-year contract for dispatch services with the Matanuska Sioux Center Borough. Made by Councilmember Irby and seconded by Councilmember Combs. Discussion, or does anyone would like to hear a staff report?
Your Honor.
Councilmember DeRees.
Thank you. I would like to know if we have any further information from the borough. Are they moving forward with the consolidated? I know they've adopted their budget now and they're generating more funds over there at the meeting, the budget hearing where I attended, but I was just curious if the staff can maybe in a couple sentences or so bring us up to date on what the horizon looks like. Thank you.
Madam Chair, yes, we have some additional information, and it might be if I can't fill in any holes that Mr. Owen can do that. At the last borough meeting, what the county manager or the borough manager handed out, Mr. Moosey, is an interim report on consolidation of the communication center. And it has a series of action steps like getting stakeholders together, and they've begun to identify that. Obviously, all of the fire and police and the cities of Wasilla and Palmer and Houston together. What happened is he didn't ask for action by the borough or by the assembly, but what he did do is give this information out and say, we need to get back together. What do I believe is going on is developing a series of alternatives about consolidated communication. This gets us through the, you know, to continue operations, but I think there's going to be a robust discussion of what consolidation might mean and where. There's a couple of locations that have been presented as ideas in Wasilla and clearly, and other location within the borough. We've suggested we're doing a good job right now and it's cost effective, and so we wish to continue to be considered here. So there's more to come, and I think the next step will be if the assembly takes, and I have to look and see on their, if they have an extended agenda, if it's at their next meeting, that they will then say, okay, let's approve the interim, which means getting all the groups together and talking about consolidated communications.
Councilmember DeRees.
Thank you for a follow-up. Has the City of Palmer proposed a location since the City of Wasilla has proposed a location?
I'm not saying the city proposed it. I'm saying that, yeah, because that...
There's an option there.
Yeah, that would be putting words in, and I don't think the council has taken that action. There's been discussion between individual members and staff about, just because we know there's some buildings that are empty and some buildings that are potential that the borough has, but there's not been a council action yet. And will we propose? I think that's, get this... approved, and then we'll come back to council. Part of that, I think, will be in a subsequent discussion that we might have on some other things, some other locations in the city that we're preparing to get to you after we approve it on an agenda as a talking point. So within the month.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, very good. Councilman
Johnson. Yeah, so originally we had proposed two alternatives to the RFP that was requested by the borough, and one alternative was for I guess the IT to be handled by the borough at a rate, and the other was for us to handle the IT at a rate. What is this alternative?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Walker.
Director of Public Safety.
We gave two alternatives to the borough. The first option was the current rate, which was $823,036. The second one was the current rate plus we added about $120,000 for IT.
Right.
When they came back and basically scuttled the entire bid, we went back to ground zero and we said, if we're going to continue dispatching for you, it's not going to be for a period of less than 12 months, and it will be for no less than our current rate plus the Anchorage Consumer Price Index, which was turned out to be 3.1. And that's why, in fact, in an effort to keep the bid, I was willing to go without the CPI, but we got it with the CPI.
Councilmember Reeves, did you get your questions, or Councilmember Hanson, excuse me?
So they're continuing to do the IT, is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Further comments, questions, concerns? All right, very good, ready to vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. All right, I guess I do have one question on that. So the borough has not approved that one-year contract yet. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Even though we just approved it to be offered, okay. Is there a motion? Let's see, action memorandum 14-039. Authorize city manager to negotiate and execute a one-year contract with fire dispatch services with the city of Houston. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Made by Councilmember Combs, seconded by Councilmember Urby. Is there a discussion, or does anyone wish to receive a staff report? Madam Clerk, would you don't have to do that so well. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. All right, very good. Motion passed unanimously to extend fire dispatch services to Houston for 1 year. All right, action memorandum 14-040 to authorize city manager to negotiate and enter into a professional services agreement with Attenberg, Dilley & Linnell for construction administration of Palmer Airport crack sealing in an amount not to exceed $25,000. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Made by Councilmember Irby and seconded by Councilmember Carrington. Discussion? Anyone wish to receive a staff report? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. We approved AM 14-040 unanimously. That brings us to unfinished business, of which we have none, and our new business, which is the golf course financial issue. And so I'm going to turn this over at this time to Mr. Hannon, and if you would lead us off and our discussion.
And Madam Chair, Council, the golf course financial issue has to do with the current state of the funds and what our revenues are and what our support of the general fund of the special fund is, the Enterprise Fund of Golf. We have not completed our audit yet. Audit means with finance director and myself, and then sitting down with Mr. Collum to go through it. Well, we're close. We need one more meeting to do that. What we've done is we've taken the current contract, we've taken the last 3 years of financials, of revenues and expenditures, and then saying what provision, what are we really predicting of both revenues, but also about the debt. Both the paying off the bond for equipment and then our last two payments that we have on a little more significant dollars. So we're one meeting away before we can come and present that. And we think we'll do that, and we're comfortable doing it in open session rather than any kind of executive session. And I can answer any questions, or with Chair's permission, we can bring the Finance Director up to help answer any.
Well, we're going to go through this during the audit, is that correct?
No, I use the word audit. We've done the audit of going through both where we are year to date, what we had last year. It's not a, we'll come back with the presentation of where we, what we think the issue is and what some of the alternatives are.
All right, well, what is your, whatever you'd like
to have. We'd ask for one more meeting and then to come back and have a discussion in front of the whole council with it.
Okay, so just nothing else tonight?
Please.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. That's your request. All right, very good. Madam Clerk, record of items placed on the table.
Nothing this evening, thank you.
All right, thank you. This brings us through our final opportunity for audience participation, a time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open. And would you please state your name for the record?
Eugene Haberman. I'd just like to read from you four paragraphs, that's all. From Gordon Tanz on the third edition he published many years ago on Alaska's Open Meetings Law. And I'd like to read you a section titled, and when I say OMA, I mean Open Meetings Act, and because I'm going to read OMA frequently. So for clarification, V, what notice is required? A, reasonable notice, timeliness. Generally, OMA requires that reasonable public notice be given for all meetings to which applies. An important element of reasonable public notice is its timeliness. Municipal officials sometimes assume that 24-hour notice of a meeting is sufficient because Alaska Statute 29.20.160 and many municipal charters and codes authorize special meetings and 24-hour notice to the members. Often this assumption will be wrong. It's entirely possible to comply with this member's notice requirement and still violate the OMA public notice requirement. Determine what notice, public notice is reasonable. All the circumstances must be considered. If the public entity or government body has set its own reasonable notice requirements that are more specific than the OMA requirements, they should be followed. Failure to meet notice requirements established by internal guidelines or regulations will be evidence of failure to give reasonable notice and has led at least one court finding to a finding the OMA was violated. One important case for the understanding of the timeliness component of reasonable notice is Tunley versus Municipality of Anchorage School District. In Tunley, the court interpreted the phrase maximum reasonable public notice contained in the Anchorage Municipal Charter. The Anchorage School Board gave 5-day notice published in the local newspaper of a meeting at which it intended to decide closed two specific elementary schools. There had already been much news coverage of the board's consideration of school closures, including reference to two schools in question. However, the court said that in light of the impact the decision would have on the children's and the parents' interest in the maintenance of neighborhood schools, 5 days is not sufficient time for appropriate preparation of opposition concerning an issue of this complexity and importance. Final paragraph. Therefore, the more complex and important an issue is, the more public notice must be given in order to meet the reasonable standard. Unless a very long period is chosen, 3 months, it is impossible to say that any given time period will provide appropriate public notice in all circumstances. The circumstances surrounding each issue must be judged independently and an appropriate period for reasonable notice chosen. And then just a footnote. You mentioned twice notes. The first notice was where you do an introduction of this program. At that time it's published, you could decide at that meeting whether to put a different hearing date for that item, but you instead went on the very next meeting for that hearing date. You also had discretion at this meeting to give a
Thank
different
you,
hearing date.
Thank you, and appreciate your input.
Can I
thank you. No, I mean, someone that understands process, I'm particularly specific about our 3 minute rule. So thank you, and I appreciate that. But I do want to ask Mr. Gaddy, actually, let me just go ahead and say public hearing is still open for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council. And seeing no one additional come forward, public hearing is now closed. And so I do have a question that has been raised under public hearing that I think is important to address before the end of this meeting. We had a question of whether we were in violation of the Open Meetings Act by the way I understood it, that we might be in the violation of the Open Meetings Act because we had, because of the complexity of the code changes that were not specifically noted before the meeting. So my question for the attorney, is there anything that would you like, I would like you to address, give us your opinion of that before we close this meeting, and if there is something that we need to do to make sure that that isn't, that we're not in violation of any type of law or other, you know, any state law specifically. Mr. Gaddy.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, thank you. Certainly appreciate Mr. Haberman bringing forward his concerns about public notice and the Open Meetings Act. However, I don't think there's any substantive legal deficiency in the actions that have been taken by the council this evening, and particularly in light of the advertisement that's been posted by the city clerk, who does an excellent job of ensuring that public notice is provided to the citizens and others that may be interested in city council meetings. I also want to say that the mayor and the city council are very interested in public notice, and in fact we have Radio Free Palmer here tonight to enhance the dissemination of information that's discussed by the council and provided to the public. With respect to the Tunley case that Mr. Haberman mentioned, that's an older case whereby the Anchorage School District closed the school on 5 days' notice, and there was substantial public opposition to that event. I would submit that the court might look at whether notice is sufficient in certain circumstances, but sometimes these cases are also outcome-oriented, and that is quite an old case. Title 29 says 5 days' notice between introduction and adoption is sufficient for ordinance introduction. The clerk makes sure that occurs on a regular basis, and I'm confident of her abilities to ensure legal requirements are met. With regard to OMA notice requirements, I believe the clerk has met those, and there's no legal deficiencies in the proceedings that have taken place before you here tonight. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
All right, seeing no other council members weigh in, I'm going to accept the attorney's opinion. Open it now to council member comments, starting with council member Combs on this side, and then working this way with council member Carrington. Council member Combs.
Thank you. First and foremost, in the last couple of weeks, I've been to, I don't know, 8 or 9 meetings slash events. And one thing really stands out in my mind, and I'd like to make note of it. And that is the remarks that I have heard about Palmer City employees being terrific, helpful, and doing a great job, in particular and in specificity, Public Works Department. Gets two thumbs up and two hands up or whatever from our community. I've had many people stop and say, please let them know. Cleanup day, as well as the great amount of help that was given in getting set up for the very first of the Friday flings of the season. Their praises were being sung left and right, and doesn't surprise me, but I do think that it should be noted. The other thing that's important to me personally is I think that I'd like to issue a personal invitation to each and every one of you to, if you possibly can, this coming Saturday, take part in a part of history in the city of Palmer. In the year 2002, an important part of legislation was passed by this body that was the first of its kind in the state of Alaska. It's been emulated since, but it has to do with neighborhood parks. And I think those of you who were here then should be very proud that is continuing. And every single time that we have an opening or anything to do with the continuing on, enhancing our community with our parks that has to do with that ordinance is something to be celebrated. It's my understanding that there'll be an opening day, particularly of the pump track at the Wilson Park, which is at the corner of Felicia and Felton in Brittany Estates, starting at 9 a.m. this coming Saturday and goes until 3. Please stop by. Thank all the people who have been involved. I thank everyone who's been involved. I've been to all the meetings from day one when we first talked to the neighbors and wanted to see what they wanted. It's a tremendous park. This is a tremendous beginning, and it's a great statement about the city of Palmer. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to echo Councilmember Combs's comments regarding the staff of the city of Palmer and cleanup day, and welcome, of course, the city manager on the record, and look forward to a successful year and years.
Likewise, I'd like to welcome Joe. Thanks for great work tonight. That's all I have. No, I do have one more, Your Honor. You know, I also was noted today, this evening, by our manager that the airport was used a lot this last week, and I spent a great deal of time over in that vicinity working later at night, and it's amazing how quiet, how, you know, it's not an inconvenience to the city. It's you know, Forestry does a nice job of coming in and out of there, and what a great asset Forestry just is in general for the city of Homer. And I'm so amazed at, you know, what they have out there and what they did this last week.
Thank you, Councilor Carrington.
I'd just like to add my own personal comment that, for me, when we're talking about public involvement, public policy, is that, you know, I take the same things that we do and decide here, and I'll talk about it with the people I ride on the van with, and, you know, citizens that I meet and talk to, whether they're actually living in the city or not quite in the city. And to me, that's part of what I do as a council member, and so the public process is really ongoing. So even though the public hearing may be over, you know, we can always bring something up if it comes up.
Councilmember Irby.
No comment, Your Honor.
All right, thank you very much. I'd like to echo what was said about the pump track. There's been some just amazing work done on that by a number of people in the community and our community development department. And I really appreciate the, I just have to say that Eddie Kessler has done a tremendous job with all the effort that he has put into raising funds and so on for that project. But in addition to being, I thought about the fire and the airport, it's like you want to go have a few photographs taken of the ramp at the airport and see our aeronautical use that Forestry does bring in, certainly. But in addition to that, I also want to tell everyone as they reflect and say their prayers this week, please pray and think about the people that are firefighters from here in the valley and all over the state and the nation down in Soldotna, and all the people that are being evacuated, because that is a fire is it's ongoing and it's big. So, and we see all the airplanes, but we're not having the negative impact that Soldotna has. So thoughts going out to the city of borough of Soldotna and Kenai tonight. Anyway, with that, no further business before the council. Meeting is adjourned. Oh.